Studio 360.
Pittsburgh has always been a source of inspiration for the novelist Michael Chabon. His first novel, The Mysteries of Pittsburgh, is set there. It is a coming-of-age story that he began writing when he was still in college, in Pittsburgh, at Carnegie Mellon University. Coming of age himself. At the time, this was in the early 1980s, Pittsburgh was home to a very robust punk music scene. Chabon was riveted by that music as a college freshman, particularly by a band called Carsickness.
I saw Carsickness play for the first time in the fall of 1980, somewhere on campus at Carnegie Mellon University, where I was a freshman. I'd listened to their self-released EP, Police Dog, about 107 times by then, and I found their live show unaccountably stirring, because there was nothing that seemed likely to cause a stir about the five guys who made up the band. They had on jeans, t-shirts, sneakers. One of them wore a cardigan. A couple of the guys verged, particularly when it came to the way they wore their hair, on the unkempt, but most of them looked, frankly, a lot like CMU engineering students. None looked even remotely, in the fall of 1980, like punks.
Good night.
This came very much as a relief to me, I remember. I was kind of afraid of punks, or at any rate, I was going to be afraid of them, I believed, if I ever actually met any. They did not have punks in the suburban Maryland town where I'd grown up and bought my first Clash, Blondie, and the Jam records. A dude on my dormitory hall, Donner, A-level, West, introduced me to Carsickness's music soon after we arrived at CMU. His name was John Fetkovich, but people called him Fetko. And he was the first, but by no means the last, ninth-level grandmaster of rock fandom I ever met. His knowledge was deep, wide, and intricately hyperlinked. He could steer you from the Velvet Underground to David Bowie, to Uriah Heep, to Pere Ubu, to Patti Smith, to Bruce Springsteen in one listening session without ever departing his zone of musical happiness. He was an engineering major, bespectacled, small of stature, generous with his knowledge and the record collection that dominated Milk Crate by Pilfered Milk Crate, every available corner of the Fetko half of his shared dorm room. In short order, he managed to secure a slot on WRCT, the campus radio station,
Tuesday at 6 p.m. on WRCT, Pittsburgh.
And in time, became a vigorous champion of the bands that had begun to ooze and bubble up from dark subterranean seams all over America. Husker Du, X, Black Flag, The Minutemen, Meat Puppets, etc. There was a certain air of Muppetry about Fetko. He spoke in brief, precise declaratives, with a Jim Henson gulp in his voice, bobbing his head for emphasis. "If you like punk," he had told me soon, like minutes after we first met, "you should check out Carsickness." He bobbed his head. "They're from here, and they're great." I went out and bought the aforementioned EP, a 7-inch with grainy Xeroxed cover art. It had four songs, among them the local hit, Bill Wilkinson, a takedown of a prominent white supremacist with a slinking game show organ and a radio-hostile anti-fascist chorus.
Bill Wilkinson, Bill Wilkinson, you better watch out. Bill Wilkinson, Bill Wilkinson, you better watch out. You look so stupid in your hours of fright, running with the fascist burning up tonight. What do you say? KKK, f*** you. What do you say? KKK, f*** you.
As I said, I loved it. But did I like punk? And were Car Sickness a punk band? Even apart from their suspiciously clean-cut look, no mohawks, no safety pins, not much leather in evidence, there was the matter of their sound. A cursory listen yielded little in the way of the kind of blunt, buzzing, major chord drums bass guitar attack formulated by the Ramones and codified in the UK that by 1980 had already become conventionalized as punky. Nor did the group embrace the ironic, nostalgic Sha-na-na meets Artaud pastiche vibe, Warhol's glam drag queens filtered through the New York Dolls that characterized the sound of many of the New York punk bands. Instead, Car Sickness played songs that were rhythmically complicated, sonically adventurous, and instrumentally distinctive. Saxophones, guitarists who could double on keyboards, with their drummer, Dennis Childers, laying down tricky time signatures and the rest of the band managing very nicely, thank you, to keep up. Their songs wandered in and out of genres, often in the course of a single track, and the band was not afraid now and then, in their own spiky, frustrated way, to swing. At times, Car Sickness seemed, to my ear, to verge on jazz, or even, could it be, on prog. They made music as hyperlinked and omnivorous, as disrespectful of boundaries, as the musical taste of John Fetkovich, or any ninth-level grandmaster of rock fandom. Their lyrics were fueled by righteous political anger, but their frontman, Joe Soap, often sounded a lot like Joe Strummer at his most drunken. The plaintive, heartbroken Strummer of The Right Profile and the final 30 seconds of Hate and War. In Pittsburgh, in 1980, they were playing a music that didn't yet have and would never really find a name, post-punk. In fact, it might be argued that in their restlessness to move, musically if not politically, beyond the stupid is smart aesthetic of punk, Car Sickness invented post-punk in Pittsburgh. Just as Husker Du and Gang of Four and Mission of Burma and Sonic Youth were busy restlessly inventing it in Minneapolis, London, Boston, and New York. Just as, a few years later, bands in Pittsburgh that were made up of post-post-punks like me and my friends, kids who loved The Birthday Party and Wire but refused to stop listening to their Black Sabbath records, would spontaneously evolve a kind of heavy, heavy music that was called, as a Seattle-obsessed national media would in time inform us, grunge. This is the moral of the story of Pittsburgh rock and roll, over and over again. If you want musical immortality, move somewhere else. I didn't know in the fall of 1980 that there was something called post-punk. But I could tell, anybody could, that Car Sickness were moving in another direction. They had pulled up stakes and struck out for some hinterland beyond the kingdom of punk. Even 35, good Lord, years later, you can still hear it in the songs on this record. The sound of five young men united for a time by a sense of adventure. The sound that stirred me that fall day in Pittsburgh, the city where my own life's adventure truly began. It's the sound of my youth and yours, whenever you were born, wherever you came of age, however you came into possession of the restlessness that is our common inheritance.
That's the Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Michael Chabon remembering the band Car Sickness. He first wrote that piece about the band in the liner notes for the album Car Sickness, 1979 to 1982. Tommy Bazarian produced that story. When we were chatting with Michael about his college life, he told us that he wasn't just a fan of Pittsburgh punk. He was a player, which frankly sort of surprised me, since affable, soft-spoken Michael and his magnificently crafted fiction seemed the opposite of punk.
Yeah, yes. We had a band called The Bats that we did our own EP, and it was actually released on the same label, or Mind Cure Records, which is a small label in Pittsburgh. They put it out about maybe, I want to say, 2 years ago. They an LP, a vinyl of what we did this one time we went into the studio. It's me singing, quote unquote.